Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 46. The Reverend Michael Meyer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Holy Gospel of St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. He said to them, How is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord? Saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We teach our children that there are no stupid questions. The intent is good, of course. We want our children to know that they can and they should talk to us about anything, that they should engage their teachers in class and participate in conversations. The pastors among us know that if their youth or another member is doubting or struggling with something, well, then it's far better to share it and to talk about it than it is to live with the doubt and uncertainty and let it eat and let it consume them and drag them away from the church. Now, this assumes that the question comes from a sincere desire to know, and not simply to get a rise out of someone or to ask something in a backhanded way with the intent of dragging somebody else down. In the end, we do know that some questions simply are stupid and shouldn't be asked. Don't believe me? Go home this evening and ask your spouse if you've ever asked a question that you shouldn't have. Right? Jesus was asked a few questions like this in his day, and yet what the questioners intended for evil, Jesus works out for good. You see, Jesus has a way of cutting out the dross and into the heart of a matter. For the Sadducees, the matter was the resurrection. You may remember their question. It occurs immediately before our reading for this morning. If a married man dies without children, then the wife marries his brother, and then this is repeated until the end, until you have one bride for seven brothers. Well, who will she be married to in the resurrection? Ha! Gotcha, Jesus! Except that Jesus knew the scriptures and the power of God, right? For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage. In other words, stop asking stupid questions just because you think that something isn't possible. Instead, subject your reason to the clear promises of God, that which he has revealed in Holy Scripture. Now, a modern equivalent would be something like this. If God is an all-powerful and all-knowing God, can he create a rock so big that even he couldn't lift it? To this, C.S. Lewis says, Well, you might as well ask if God could draw a square circle. It's illogical at its base, and it proves nothing. It's a stupid question, so don't ask it. And yet don't be surprised if you hear that one, or if you hear others like it. After all, the Pharisees ask Jesus which commandment is the greatest. They meant to self-aggrandize and to boast about how they've kept whichever commandment that he would have answered. A backhanded way to make Jesus look like a fool and to clap themselves on the back at the same time. Instead, Jesus replies, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, love God and love your neighbor. In this sense, love is not an emotion or a feeling in the heart that one might feel toward somebody else. The Bible speaks of love as an attitude or an orientation. What is most important in your life? God and your neighbor should be. It doesn't matter if I'm angry at my neighbor because he's annoying or he sinned against me. Love your neighbor. Never mind that God feels so far away at times. Love God. Of course, God is always present, always with us, and in spite of how you feel about things, love God and love your neighbor. It's an obligation. It is the law. Now again, nobody can command a feeling. A feeling comes from the heart one moment and it's gone the next. It explodes and then it withers. But the love which the Bible speaks of is not an emotion. It is an attitude expressed in action. The law is 100% about love. Ask Moses. Ask Jesus. They say the same thing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. But by now, I'm sure you've recognized the problem. To begin with, none of us have ever put God first in our lives, particularly all the time. None of us has always and perfectly loved our neighbors as ourselves. And yet Jesus answered them in this way to show them that they had not sufficiently loved God and their neighbors. Their supposed good deeds did not matter. They hadn't actually been fulfilling God's law. Instead, the Pharisees, and we likewise, had merely been fulfilling their own law, our own law. And so Jesus follows it up, right, with another question, with his questions, leading to the conclusion that he, Jesus, is the Christ, David's son, and yet David's Lord. The Pharisees didn't like this any better than the rest of the conversation because it posed a threat to them and their system. But for you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is good news. More than that, to you, who are called children of God, this is the best of news. For he who was both David's son and Lord is now your brother and Lord. Jesus, the Christ, is truly God and truly man. And yet there are not two Christs, but one, equal to the Father in respect to his divinity and equal to you in respect to his humanity, composed of a rational soul and flesh, body and soul, God and man united in the one person of Jesus Christ. And that flesh, he fulfilled the law perfectly in your place. He loved God, and he loved you, his neighbor. Though tempted in the same way as you, he did not give in. And thus he suffered not for himself, but he did so for you. He died and was buried not for his sins, but for your sins. Likewise, he rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, not for his justification, but for yours. And on the last day, he will come for you. What wondrous love this is. That is his promise for you, and it is your confession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.